Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Okay, so guys, I want to just set the table here for everybody that we're working remote. So all of us are isolated because of the virus right now. So this is a call that is being done totally remotely. So guys, when you're speaking, what I'm going to ask is that you not be on a speakerphone, that you actually take off speakerphone so that we don't have an echo or any background noise. We'll use the same format. We'll keep this to 15 minutes, and we appreciate the listeners and your feedback on this call. We are going through some unprecedented times, and it's putting stress on the economy and on the financial system. So I want to start with the stress that we're seeing on the financial system, but I do not want to dismiss what's going on in the economy. We are really going through a contraction, and the likes of which we have not experienced in our lifetimes. We're basically shutting down the economy systematically. And the result is the financial system is under tremendous stress. And so the plumbing that supports the financial system is really the topic for the first part of this call. So the way that this financial stress manifests itself is first through the banking system. So during the financial crisis back in 2008, the problem with the economic downturn and the stress on the financial system then was the banks were undercapitalized. We had 4% tier one capital levels. So today we have 8% tier one capital levels, and it's a stronger system, but it's still manifesting itself through the banks, and you can see that through the price of bank stocks. So the KBW Bank Index, I think, is down 46% year to date. And the reason for that is really the number of small business loans that are starting to default because of the shutdown. These are businesses like restaurants and bakeries and gift shops, event planning businesses that are under financial pressure, which makes servicing the debt more difficult. But there's more stress in the system, and we see it in the short-term lending facilities. The repo market supports a large part of our financial system. The financial system, by definition, is leveraged. So we need short-term borrowings to help support it. And typically, that's done through the overnight repo market, where an entity lends treasury securities, and then in return for treasury securities, receives a rate of interest or a agreement to repurchase those at a higher rate, which results in a rate of interest. It works for both parties. The Federal Reserve has stepped in to support this overnight lending. It's a $4 trillion market. So that lending, that whole lending operation right now is being supported by the Federal Reserve. So they've announced they've increased their facility from, I think, $160 billion to $500 billion now through April. And I would guess that it goes on indefinitely until we figure this out. So there's two other areas that I want to just to unpack for you guys. And as we're going through this, guys, if you could just hold your phones quiet and not move around, that would be great, because there's some background noise that I don't know if you're picking up on it or not. But the two other areas, the first is the derivatives market. There's an increase in volatility in certain types of derivatives, which is making hedging more difficult. That's obviously a result with volatility increasing. We get hedge price dislocation. And while the derivatives market is mostly electronic, posting collateral, measuring margin through a pandemic is more difficult when everybody's working remotely. And we got to remember that Wall Street is working the same way we are. They're working remotely. So it's not like everybody's in the office handing paper back and forth. It's providing stress on that. It's compounding the stress that's on the system. Now, the fourth area is probably the more interesting. It's in the leveraged loan and the closed-end market. So there are pools of assets that borrow money and then buy underlying collateral. Those are collateralized loan obligations. And when the underlying collateral deteriorates, entity is forced to sell. And so that's part of what's going on here is we've got some price problems with what's going with the underlying collateral. The lenders on these collateral pools will likely pull the lines of credit or force a write down in the underlying collateral and then reduce the line of credit. This is also is in the closed end market. So we'll see this with closed end municipal and high yield securities as well. So why don't I stop there and just unpack that. Adam, do you have anything that you would add to that just from an economic or financial stress standpoint?
I mean, the biggest thing we're seeing in the ETF market is just this dislocation from NAV, which is really abnormal, whether it's bond funds or equity funds. Same thing goes for closing funds. Those discounts to NAV have gotten to enormous wide. Actually, the high yield municipal ETF has consistently traded at a 20% discount when it typically trades right on top of NAV. So you're seeing a lot of that. You're seeing, like Greg said, because a lot of people working from home, you're not seeing buyers on the other side who normally would close that gap through an arbitrage trade. They're just not there. So you're just seeing a lot of stress there. And then you continue to see a lack of liquidity, even in treasuries. Last week, treasury bills, or I'm sorry, yeah, bills from 6 months in went negative on the offer side, while they were obviously positive on the bid side. So you kind of saw some just dislocation continued in the treasury market.
Hey, Freddie, can you comment on what's going on in the equity market?
Yeah, sure. As far as individual stocks and sectors, staples are where you're seeing outperformance right now. I say outperformance, but on a one-month basis, they're still down 22%. The worst performing sectors, you have energy, obviously, they're down to 52%. And financials down, like you said, over 40%. So we're in a very challenging environment right now. I guess to give a few good places to look, I'd say Amazon. You have a lot of closures of physical stores. It's only going to make online an even bigger draw. And I'd say Apple, Starbucks.
Wasn't Amazon up like 7% last week?
They're definitely outperforming. They're down about 8% year to date, but yeah, they're still outperforming.
Yeah, it was green.
Weather the storm, I guess.
Keep going. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine. And then Apple, Starbucks, and Nike are pretty good names. So the stores have been reopened in China, and all three of those stocks have been hit pretty hard over the last month, specifically with their China exposure. I'd say China in general seems to be a good area of focus. They're rebounding quite well. If you look at the global markets on average, got off about 26% from 52-week highs. But if you look at the Shenzhen index, which is basically China's NASDAQ, they're actually only 7% off of its 52-week highs. So sticking with that theme, if you really want to go in that direction, Alibaba, another solid name. They have the online presence. They have very little debt, and they're operating in a more stable economy right now. So, those would be some picks.
Okay. Before we go into model changes, Charlie, what do you see in the high yield market right now?
So, in the high yield market, liquidity is really the major concern. We're seeing this with two main issues. First, on a more of a credit side, is investors have real concerns about companies' ability to cover or refinance their near-term debt. You see that most pronounced in energy companies, where some of the major players are trading at 50 cents on the dollar. But you're also seeing that stretch out into retail and automotives. Macy's and Ford are two that come to mind there. And then you're also seeing trades getting done at very wide levels, which continually reset the market. This is especially pronounced with short end credit accounts, either liquidating their entire account or a major portion to rebalance their total investments with equities. So this really has led to nobody knowing what trade is going to happen and where it's going to happen. And the market keeps resetting itself wider and wider. It's not really to say there aren't buyers on the other end, but the trades are so dislocated that no one really knows where things are going to end up being.
Mm. All right. Before we go to models, Adam, you got anything else that you would want to talk about and then use that to transition into models with Freddie?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously a lot of investors are focused on the VIX, which is above 75, but I want to continue to push people to look at the MOVE index, which is volatility on treasuries, which is above 139%. So volatility, even in bond markets, is pretty high. And then just want to highlight this morning the Fed's announcement of unlimited security purchases of treasuries, mortgage-backed securities, and even more important in my mind is they're going to begin lending to corporates and municipals. So just kind of another experiment per se. And then lastly, just want to highlight just where we're seeing some value. Obviously, corporate spreads are at over 300 basis points of spread. But where I'm seeing even more value are municipals. So right now, this is the first time really in my career that we've seen such a big premium to Treasury. So the 30-year is now trading at 170% of Treasury. So, you know, it probably wasn't too long ago that they were trading at 70% of Treasury. So a big move there in municipals. Definitely.
So can you explain what's going on and why that dislocation is taking place?
Well, I mean, I keep coming back to liquidity. I mean, you're seeing dealers are just having a hard time selling anything to anyone. So last week, I think I saw offers on the same bonds come to me five different times where just, you know, they came to a level, no one bought them, came with another level, and just no one's buying them because no one's willing to take on risk. I think a big part of it is the fact that a lot of people are trading from home. So your risk limits are significantly less. And then conversely, you're seeing a lot of banks have to, you know, get cash higher and reserves higher. So you're seeing some selling pressure out of banks in the municipal market.
Okay. Freddie, can you talk to us about the models and what we're doing there?
Yeah. So last week, moves we've been talking about and we've made include slowly taking off our allocation to our sector neutral low volatility play. That's ticker USMV. So it's actually outperformed the index over year to date and a 1 month basis. So it's done its job. We've reduced our position in our tactical series and our core series by about half. So we still have a small position remaining. Which we're going to look to unwind within this week. So,
all right. So the last thing we've got, I mean, from a just how the week looks like it's going to unfold, we've got the fiscal stimulus package got hung up in the Senate last night, and so we do not have a deal. I think it's last I saw it was about $1.4 trillion package, and it's got something in there for everybody. I think my sense would be the market would receive that well. So this morning's open, the last time I looked at the pre-open, it was down, and I would expect it's because we don't have a fiscal stimulus package coming. And I think the expectation is this week is going to be similar to last week, is we're going to hear more and more of the spread of the virus and more of parts of the economy shutting down to control the spread. And so with that, we'll keep you guys in the loop in terms of what we're doing. And we'll call that a wrap for this morning. So thanks for joining us. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.